I'll let you know. Speaking of sermon, this was an interesting week for me. A little bit of a pickle I was in as I sat down to begin to study for the text. And the reason why is because we just had no idea what to expect regarding Kids Sunday in Paradise. As you guys know, sometimes we have a sizable group of kids and sometimes not so much. So we wanted to be prepared for that. And Brian was, which by the way, Brian, my show and tell for my kids moment a month ago was fruit. You like went to the art store and created an entire exhibit. You win, dude. I hope if it was a contest, you win. Well, anyhow, with that in mind and just not knowing some of those variables, I decided that maybe it wouldn't be the most prudent to go forward and tackle the next portion of Romans. So what I wanted to do instead is circle back to part of the text that we looked at last time and really hone in on one small little verse that we didn't get a chance to really reflect on too much. But the small verse also means that it's going to be sort of a short reflection. So I'll give you in advance your welcome, because you're probably going to get out of church today way earlier than you have in a long time. Oh, that was the other announcement. That just jogged my memory. And it is that the Lutheran Church is having a potluck right afterwards, which, you know, normally we're invited to stick around to fellowship to do the coffee and cookies. But today, since this is a special sort of potluck and a celebration for one of their ministers that's leaving, we're not invited this time. I was trying to think of like a pleasant way to say that. Probably not like you're going to get the boot right afterwards, but you know, like we probably need to not linger quite as much. But since we're going to get out early anyways, probably won't be an issue. So, all right. So how about you stand, if you would, for the reading of God's word. We're in Romans 1, circling back to part of what we saw last week. We're going to be at verse 15 in particular. Just this one verse, if you would follow along with me as I read it. It says this: "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." This is the word of Christ. Thanks be to him. Let's pray. Lord, I ask and pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in here would be pleasing in your sight. We ask it and pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for standing, guys. You may be seated. I told you it was a short verse. You didn't believe me. So this verse, in the big picture of Romans, it has a couple of different purposes. One of them is to tell us yet another reason why Paul is itching to go to Rome and be there in person. Remember, he said that in this letter multiple times already. I'm praying that God would bring me to Rome. I intended to go to Rome, but have thus so far been prevented. I want to be there, so there's this mutual encouragement. But we also see that he wants to go to Rome because it's a city of over 1 million people. And the church in Rome at this time probably numbered somewhere between 50 and 100. That's a lot of people who have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is eager to go and share it with them. There's another thing a verse like this does in the big picture. It tells us a little bit about the guy who wrote this letter, the Apostle Paul. We've talked about a lot. And this tells us yet another thing that makes him tick. What is it that drives him? What are his deepest desires? What does he want more than anything in the world? Well, a verse like this suggests that it's to tell people about Jesus. That's what drives him. So those two observations really are kind of like at the in-your-face, upfront reasons why this verse is in Romans. But there's a third thing that you sort of get after you sit with this verse for a little bit. That's what I did this week. I'm just rolling it over in my head, chewing on it, praying over it. And in time, what ends up happening is the light stops shining on the Apostle Paul, who this is talking about, who wrote this, and it starts to shine inward towards me as I begin to ask myself the question, have I ever been eager to share the gospel like this? Can I in good conscience say that I have ever been able to repeat these words? I am eager to preach the gospel of Jesus to those who haven't heard it before. Huh. So, when we talk about preaching the gospel, or let's use some synonyms here, sharing our faith, telling people about Jesus that haven't heard of him before. When we talk about those things, there's a handful of words that come to mind. Maybe not eager first. How about this word? Compulsion. I share the gospel because I'm supposed to. That's what they tell me at church that I should do. That's what the Bible says I should do. And therefore, I don't really want to do it, but I do it because I have to. Or this one's close, but not quite the same. Guilt. Share the gospel because God will be angry with me if I don't. I'll be looked down upon. I'll be a lesser Christian. Therefore, I do it. Or we could shift gears and throw in a few other words that might actually be more descriptive of many people today. Apathy. I don't share the gospel because somebody else will do it. Somebody who's more gifted at sharing that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know what to say. Other people do, though, and they'll take care of that. And, of course, the last one I'll mention, fear. I don't share the gospel because it is awkward and it is uncomfortable and it might make things weird between me and my coworker or me or my neighbor or me and my cousin or brother or sister, or you name it. These are the words that way more frequently, I think, come up whenever I've thought about sharing the gospel, whenever I have conversations with people. Compulsion, guilt, apathy, fear, eager, not so much. Eager is a much rarer word to come up in those conversations, because to be eager about sharing the gospel means that we would feel the same way about it as we do about summer vacation. Or about seeing like the friend that we haven't seen in a decade, or the family member that we lost track of and we're getting to meet up with again. Actually, I've got a perfect example for eagerness. You guys know the Fickert family. We're up here in Paradise previously, now we're down in Chico. Whenever I see their oldest daughter, Leilani, at church, at Vespers, she runs up to me and tells me how many days it is until their family goes to Disneyland. It started at like 43 days when she started telling me. That's eagerness. The countdown. I can't wait. I can't. Hey, imagine when it's like two, the countdown's on two. Leilani's not going to sleep at all. She's going to be like plugged into the wall. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us is that that's kind of how he views the opportunity to go to this city where it's just this fresh opportunity to share the gospel with millions of souls that haven't heard it before. My goal today is not to come in here and say, you should be more eager to share the gospel. I should be more eager. Because truthfully, I don't think that you can force yourself to feel more eager. You could feel guilted about that today. You could feel convicted about that. But it's not something you can look at your heart and say, you should be more eager. It doesn't work. So maybe what we need to do instead is think, how does someone become eager like that? Because surely it's not just going to be me feeling guilty and saying, I need to be more eager. What about Paul brings him to this place? I've got one idea. Very simple idea. And it's this. I think eagerness to share the gospel is directly linked to how deeply we've tasted that gospel. How deeply we understand it. And how much we've seen of how the grace of Jesus has impacted each and every facet of our life every single day. There's the fancy word for it is a correlation. The more deeply you understand and dig into that gospel, the more eager you'll be to talk about it with those who don't know. Or to use a metaphor, if you've just, like, if the gospel is like a cup of delicious Gatorade, your favorite flavor, Okay, I saw some wincing faces there. All right, let's do iced tea then, okay? Some refreshing iced tea, not the sweet variety from the South where I'm from, because that stuff is pretty gross. Jeez, there's going to be no win. There's going to be no beverage, I can say, that everybody's uncommon. So imagine then just your favorite beverage. The gospel is a cup of that. If you just take a sip of it, eagerness to share will not follow. But to drink deeply of it, to drink it down to the dregs, to experience all in its refreshing, to know deeply all it tells you about yourself and God and the grace therein, that produces this. And I know it because we have read just a few paragraphs of the beginning of this very long letter, but what we've seen is the Apostle Paul explore every nook and cranny about how the gospel of grace affects the world, affects him, affects his relationships, affects his thoughts. In just three paragraphs, wait for it. It's going to be one of the longer ones today. Yeah, last week it was only two chimes, huh? There we go. Yeah, there's another example of eagerness, isn't there, Brian? Well, okay, to come back to what I'm saying, Paul, in just these few paragraphs, has turned over every rock to see the way that the gospel changes the world. He's told us that it takes people that are sinners and makes them saints. He told us last week that we looked about it, the righteousness of God, not used to condemn men, but actually to give them his righteousness by faith. He's talked about how the gospel humbles people to make them able to interact with each other. It's torn down the dividing walls of hostility between races. He has drunk deeply from the cup of the gospel, and it's led to this. This is going to be a really stupid analogy, but I'm going to go with it, all right? The TV show Lost came out when I was a senior in college, got really popular right after that. I had seen the commercials on TV. I had seen a few episodes. I had read some descriptions about Lost. It just didn't really seem to be that much to me, though. Turned out to be one of my favorite TV shows of all time, but it only got there after I was willing to sort of dig in and watch and read and discuss it with people and go all in on experiencing it. And the next thing you know, it went from just like, oh yeah, it's some TV show, it's on Wednesday nights or something, I think, to I was eager to tell everyone I could about this show that you must watch. Now, I know, guys, I mean, if I couldn't get you all on the same page about what drink was in the cup, there's probably a lot of you here that think that was a dumb TV show. So be it. But the point is just that cursory experience of the show that turned out to be one of my all-time favorites was not enough to produce the eagerness to tell people about it. It was going all in. It was diving deep. It was experiencing it for everything it had. That took me to the place, just that apathetic, oh yeah, to that eagerness to tell everyone I could about it. That's what we see happening with Paul. Turning over every rock to get the fullness of the gospel, and it leads to this. A few weeks ago, we talked for consecutive Sundays on what some of our prayers and goals were for this calendar year. And the hardest goal to share with you guys was the goal that we had that in both Paradise and Chico, there would be altogether 10, but 5 in each place, of new believers that would be baptized. And it was the hardest goal to share with you guys because that number was so small. But as I told you then, and I'll repeat it again now, we started with that number because this has been a weakness of ours at Ridge Presbyterian Church. We have not been a people eager to share the gospel, and we have not been a people that have done it well. And I put the blame on myself first for that. And yet I know that if we're going to be able to celebrate seeing those 10 people all together come to faith and be baptized in a church, it's going to start with an attitude that's eager to preach the gospel and the opportunities that we have. I can't make you be eager. I can't make myself be eager. But what I can do, what I can promise you, is that I will do my best to try to shine a light on the depth of the gospel in whatever passage of scripture we're in. That Brian will do his best to make everything, our prayers, our scripture readings, our creeds, whatever it be, give you the opportunity to see the depths of the gospel so you can drink deeply of it. I promise you that. And what I want you to promise me is that you'll be open to drinking that cup. You'll be open not just to glaze over at these opportunities to dig deep into the gospel, but you'll sink your teeth in. You'll lean into it. You'll dive deep and be willing to drink deeply of the gospel so that you might be able to say too, I am eager to share my faith, to show Jesus, to preach the gospel to those who haven't heard about him, so to speak. I don't want us to be a church anymore that the first words that come to mind with preaching the gospel are compulsion or guilt or apathy or fear. I want to be a church that can in good conscience say we are eager to tell people about the Jesus that we have seen great things of. I think that's the only way that we transform our church body into one that is evangelistic in a good way. So let me pray for us, and then we'll invite Jordan back up to sing, to conclude our time. Oh my goodness, I ended up going a little longer than I was anticipating anyway, so all that rigmarole about how early you're going to get out. Oh gosh, let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much that you have given us a gospel that is worth being eager to share. Lord, it'd be another thing entirely if this gospel was bad news, if it was harsh. But no, God, it's a gospel that truly is good. It tells us that you have loved your people so much you've given yourself for them. Please, Lord, stir up in us hearts that aren't ashamed of it, that don't want to hide it, that don't want to pass it off to somebody else who will talk about it, God, but who are eager to speak. And I know we're afraid. We've seen people in our life. We've seen people that their idea of eagerness is to show up on a college campus with a picket sign telling people that they're going to hell. Lord, no, we don't want to be that. Make us people that are eager to share the gospel with love, with grace, with patience and humility, with joy, with that undeniable attractiveness that the gospel brings. Lord, make it so. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.